did. Say with me, transcend. Say it again. Say transcend. You must learn as a believer, as a Christian, how to transcend. Or in other words, ascend. But let's stick to transcend. You need to learn how to transcend. The word transcend means to break boundaries, limitations, natural limitations, and to go higher and beyond something and a limitation. That when we worship, we should be able to be transcending into the heavens. Are you guys with me? A lot of people are worshiping and waiting for God to come down while He's waiting for us to come up. Worship, we ascend in worship. Are you guys with me? We ascend to worship. In worship, to John, he said, come up here. To Moses, he said, come up here. Every time you would see when God would want to have an encounter with somebody, there is a taking up that comes. That is why when the rapture comes, it is a taking away, a taking up. But through our worship, we have the ability to be raptured. We have the ability to transcend. But the only way we can do it is by completely keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ. When you worship, you don't worry about somebody standing next to you. You see people whose eyes are still open. There's nothing happening. They are still having an earthly experience. But those whose eyes are closed and you can see, it's almost like they are not present. They are having a heavenly experience. It is only worship that can take you into that place. Are you guys with me? Worship is powerful. Worship will cause you to transcend. And it is in the heights and the realms of the Spirit. Deuteronomy 32 says, in the heights He will make us ride in the heights and the realms of the earth. It is in the heights in the Spirit. It says there, the rock will pour out for you flinty. The flinty rock will pour out for you rivers of oil. It is in a place of ascension and transcending, where the anointing is hidden. Because it is difficult to get there. It is difficult to stay there. It is one of the cost and the prices for the anointing. That where every distraction comes at you, but your mind stays focused and stays fixed. Your gaze stays fixed upon the heavens when you worship. It doesn't matter. Even if a thought comes, you just erase it. You keep focusing and you keep yourself in a place of ascension. That is the difference between somebody that has a heavenly experience or an earthly experience. An earthly experience, you can walk past them, you can feel. The Holy Spirit will many times tell me, don't pray for a person. They're not in the Spirit yet. They're not going to receive. Their flesh is going to resist. Their flesh is still alive. The anointing comes out when the flesh is broken. Are you guys with me? But it requires this flesh to be broken. Once the flesh is broken, there's an anointing inside of you that will flow out. Remember, there's an anointing in you, an anointing upon you, and an anointing with you. Are you guys with me? So, many times in worship or so, if I want to pray for people, I can see this person is still in the flesh. Now I can have the ability to take them into the Spirit. Sometimes, where there's a very anointed service or God gives you the grace at that moment to do it, I can take that hand and I can take them into the Spirit. I have the ability to break through that outer man. But most of the times people just stand and they kind of like looking around and they're not extending because they don't practice it at home. So now it comes to church and you see the glory of God exposes our spiritual condition. It exposes whether we have an anointing or a lack of it. Are you guys with me? The anointing is tangible, transferable substance from heaven. It is not emotions. It is not loud sound. It is tangible, electricity from heaven. It is when you touch somebody that is like electricity that goes to them. But both the vessel, the conductor, and the receiver has to be in a place of ascension or has to be ready to receive it. The anointing flows and works like electricity. If it touches rubber, nothing happens. But if it has a good conductor, it can flow. Are you guys with me? The anointing, how does the anointing come? Now, next week, we're going to preach on the cost of the anointing. This week, I want to speak on the protecting the anointing upon your life. But let me just first say this. How does the anointing come? What is the anointing? Let's first get to what is the anointing. And I want to get to how does the anointing come. Let's go to John 12, verse 3. John 12, verse 3. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume. Say with me, costly perfume. It is a costly anointing. Are you guys with me? If you see anybody operating in anointing, you must know it costs them something. And God is going to require anybody in this place to say, if you are hungry for an anointing, are you willing to lay your life down to pay the price, to pay the cost? Otherwise, you can just think, I'm a Christian and the anointing is there and there's squat there. You only realize what you've lost when you need what you had. When the moment comes when you need what you had. I'm going to say it again. You only realize what you've lost when a moment arises that you suddenly need what you used to have. The anointing is lifted or it is poured out more upon people. There are three main ways how the anointing comes, which I'll get to now. But John 12 verse 3. Mary then took a pound of very costly oil, of spikenard, of perfume, of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, with the fragrance of the oil. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. The moment, what did she do? She broke open the limitations where the costly oil was in. Are you guys with me? She poured it out on Jesus' feet. The moment the anointing was poured out, a fragrance was released in the atmosphere. When somebody who carries a costly anointing, they'll release a fragrance wherever they go. That it would be like that people would want to spend time with them. There's something attractive about them. There's something contagious about them. The anointing is contagious. If it comes on one, it can come on another one right next to him. If it comes on a group of people, others can stand there and say, I want what is that? It's contagious. If you touch the one who has an anointing, it can come on to you. Say with me, the contagious anointing. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter number 13, verse 44. Again, listen to this. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Some of you sold all that he had and bought it. The anointing will cost you everything. That's why not everyone has it. Let me go to Luke chapter number 9. Let me read from go to Luke chapter number 29, verse 23. It's Luke 9, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. Listen to this. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Say with me, deny myself and take up my cross daily. Say with me, daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, him, my Father will be ashamed in front of his holy angels. So listen to this. He says, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross. Let me go to Luke chapter number 14. Luke 14 verse, let's see. Zera no no no. Zera na na. Zorana. Let's go to Luke 14 verse 25. Luke 14 verse 25. Listen to this. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot, say with me, cannot be my disciple. Now, it doesn't mean you have to hate your family. It just means that your love for God will be so much that your family will feel you hate them. In comparison, when it is compared, the one must look like hatred towards the other one. Are you guys with me? Let's go to the next verse. If anyone comes here, let's go to the next verse, verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot, say with me, cannot be my disciple. Say it again. Say, cannot be my disciple. Go to verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, say with me, forsake all that I have, cannot be my disciple. These are the words of Jesus, to say that these are the ones that qualify for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a lazy church, I know you're not going to clap hands for this. Are you guys with me? Because it is a painful message. The anointing doesn't only come by the laying on of hands. That is a 10%. It is not an anointing that's going to make you shake nations. It is not an anointing that is going to protect you. The laying on of hands is for impartation. But that impartation only comes once you've activated your own anointing. Once you are a disciple. Are you guys with me? The Bible says, do not put holy anointing oil on flesh. And many times in the church we do it. And then that oil that we put on just becomes normal oil. But the moment it touches the head of somebody who is consecrated, who's living a life to, it anoints them with power. I don't know if you guys hear what I'm saying. That's why the Bible says, if you are a believer, go to the elders, let them anoint you with oil and pray for you when you are sick. Because it works for the believers. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't work for unbelievers. I'm just speaking on this God's protocol, God's structure. Are you guys with me? Which tells you that God is not and has no desire. The anointing cannot come upon flesh. If there's one thing during this month, we did the month of the Holy Ghost. And we heard very good feedback from our cell groups and so e-groups and so on. But this month, if there's one thing I want you to walk away with, and the last service, we'll have a service where we pray for importation that God will do stuff. Even if it's in the morning service. But it's a hunger for the anointing. You cannot live a victorious Christian life without the anointing. Say with me, without the anointing. What is the anointing? It is a rubbing in, a smearing in. It is charisma. It is Mashiach. Mashiach comes from Jesus Christ, Christos. It is the anointed one and his anointing. That once we spend time with him, his anointing is smeared and rubbed off on us. Are you guys with me? When they anointed somebody in the Old Testament, they smeared the oil on them. They didn't just touch them. They rubbed it into them. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, He rubs His anointing into you. But it requires a spending of time from your side, pressing in, getting into a place of transcending or a place of ascension, getting into a place where you're taken into the heights and the realms of the heavens, where the oil, where the rock pours out for you oils, rivers of oils. You come out of that place with an anointing upon your life, a heavenly anointing, a real anointing, not a fabricated anointing. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. A real anointing. I was in an apostles' conference recently where I had to minister. And the first person I believe I prayed for, we were walking like this down a pastor's conference. Are you guys with me? The first person I prayed for, I walked, and the Holy Spirit said to me, this man is a demon. And this demon is tormenting him. And as I walked, I called him out. Now the demon knows I already discerned him. So as I walked out down the aisle, and the Holy Spirit says to me, do not let him walk to the front. Stop him there. And as you stop him there, the devil will manifest. So I let him come. I said, stop there. And the man began to manifest. And we're doing deliverance on him. But how can you do that without the anointing? It is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Not counseling. It is the anointing that causes you to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. But it takes a pressing in. Oh my gosh, if somebody can just say, I want to press in 2 hours a day, your life will never be. Don't say you are doing it. Your life will never be the same again. Are you guys with me? Spending 2 hours in heaven, how can your life be the same? Then you become an ambassador on this earth. That is when you truly become an ambassador. Because you carry the atmosphere of heaven wherever you are going. But there needs to be a hunger. You see, you cannot seek the anointing or ascend or speak to the Lord or even pray and seek His face without Him drawing you to Himself. And we taught you on how to be quickened. Are you guys with me? How am I getting quickened? Say with me, wait. So we teach you these things practically so that you can know, but wait, this is how I spend time with God. Na-na-na. How can I say this? In a spiritual sense, the anointing is God Himself poured and smeared onto a person all over them and rubbed into the humanity through His Spirit. This allows God to operate and move through us in power, wisdom, and might. But it is God that comes upon a person, and God rubs Himself in through the Holy Spirit into a person's body. Are you guys with me? That when people look at you, there can be a glow about you. If you do not have this anointing, get hungry for it. Don't let one day, because as we are preaching here, I know it touches hearts. I know there will be promptings of the Spirit at home where He will prompt you and pull you to say, come and spend time. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. But many are obedient or many are disobedient. Those who are disobedient, the Holy Ghost backs off. And He can maybe just not come back again until there's again a crying out to Him. Are you guys with me? So, there's three things that makes the anointing. Let me say three things for now that makes the anointing come on you. Put on for you 2 Timothy 2 verse 21. Therefore, if anyone, say with me, anyone, that includes me and you here, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, say with me, from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In another translation, it says, fit for every good work. That you have become fit, trained like you're training in a gym. Fit, prepared for every good assignment or good work. That meaning that if God is deciding, I want to use somebody now in the area of a prophet. I want to take somebody and make them a multimillionaire to affect nations. I want to send another person to nations to preach the gospel. I want to put this one on that stage to affect thousands of people. You are fit for the master's use. A vessel prepared for the master's use. But what does it take? Say with me, cleanse. Have a seat. Whenever the Bible uses the word cleanse, He says you must cleanse yourself everywhere. It doesn't say God cleanse us. By His blood He cleanse us. But this is speaking of another cleansing. This is speaking of Christians who got defiled in a church through gossip, through listening to wrong stuff. And because of that, the anointing departed from them. Are you guys with me? And He says, I want you to cleanse yourself from the latter. Become holy. Peter says, be holy, for I am holy, says God. The word be holy doesn't mean become holy. It means you are holy now by reading those words. It is is written in a form of impartation. Like, be holy as I am holy. That holiness is something that is received by faith. Righteousness is received by faith, not by being sinless. And once it is received by faith, it is 1 second that you can shift yourself and be available for the anointing to come up. And 1 second, a lot of people sit in their prayer rooms and they're praying and they're begging God and nothing is happening. They feel their prayers are hitting the roof because they are not in faith. Are you guys with me? I'm not really preaching the message. But it's okay. It's on the anointing. Say with me, in faith. How does the anointing come? In faith. When I'm in my room and I'm praying, maybe I've sinned, maybe I've done this. It is by faith that the blood of Jesus Christ washes us free. And the moment I cleanse myself by faith, I make myself holy by faith, I'm in righteousness. It is a mindset change. Your stinking thinking has kept you away from God and has kept His presence away from you. Where the only thing He is looking for is somebody that is saying, I have childlike faith. I can get into my room and begin to seek Him and raise my hands. You will feel like showers of water falling upon you because God is pleased by faith. Faith pleases Him. Whenever you do it and you act in faith, I don't know if you guys are with me. Have your seats. I want this anointing to come on you. It is this anointing that energizes your body. It quickens your mortal bodies. Are you guys with me? It is this anointing that puts you on a stage for everybody to see. It is this anointing that highlights you to friends and foes. It is this anointing that will attract persecution. Opposition, but if you are anointed, it is there to promote you. Are you guys with me? I can't tell you what I'm going through. Unfortunately, we're on air, but even with that, I can't tell you what I can only maybe tell you once it is done. And I must speak of old stories and speak of new stories. Because the one day I said, God, can I have rich enemies? And then the next day it happened. So, what am I saying is that if there's an anointing on your life, the enemy will seek you out to kill you. He will seek you out to kill you. The anointing is costly. So how do I get the anointing? We won't get into the message today. The message is to protect the anointing. We have many Sundays left. It's okay. I'm just doing what God said to me. Say with me, cleanse me from the latter. Now, what is the latter? You need to go read the scripture then. It speaks of gossip and slander and divisions and opening up of the ears and offense. And even in people in the church here that has taken offense. And, you know, why does Leon do this or say like this or talk like this? And the enemy brings offenses in. It cuts and eliminates you from the anointing. If you want to be successful in business, get the anointing. You'll be attracting favor like no one's business. They won't know what it is about you. They just want to do business with you. But it has to be a real, genuine anointing. Are you guys with me? Not a fabricated, manufactured anointing. It has to be the real deal. It's either there or it's not there. It's either present or it is not present. But you cannot make it work. You have to find it in a place that is hidden, in a place called the secret place. And then it is hidden in a place called persecution. And then it is hidden in a place called sufferings. It is hidden in a place called Gethsemane. The crushing of the olive. Unless the olive is crushed, the oil cannot come out. Unless you are in a place in life where you are crushed, the oil inside of you cannot, say with me, cannot come out. Jesus had to go to Gethsemane to get crushed to pieces for the oil to begin to work for his purpose and his destiny that he was called to be. Are you guys with me? It is the place of crushing. It is there where the anointing is found. Where's the anointing found? In the high places of ascension. Where the rock pours out for us, flinty rock pours out for us rivers of oil. Which means it takes time and dedication. While your wife is maybe sleeping or your husband is sleeping, whether it's in the morning that you wake up or you stay up late, but there's a place where God has called you to meet with Him. Where there's no distractions and you can get into heaven. And only those who will take us apart now by me saying getting into heaven does not understand spiritual things. We are speaking mysteries. Jesus said, to you it has been known to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given to understand the mysteries. But to you it has been given, who are on the inside, but those who are on the outside it has not been given. So what are we doing? We're speaking mysteries and secrets. Are you guys with me? These things are spiritually discerned. You can only speak to spiritual people about them. Once you speak to natural people, they attack you, criticize you, and they try to work it out in their minds. Are you guys with me? So how do I get the anointing? Number one, say, cleanse me from the latter. Say it again. Say, cleanse me from the latter. And I just read the verse to you there. Cleanse me from the latter, meaning I have to separate me from anything that is fleshly. Gossip, slander, all those things, but any other work that is fleshly. I have to come to a place of holiness. Not sinlessness, but separated unto God. Where the Holy Spirit will convict me. Watching this thing is not good for me. Listening to this talk is not good. Listening to these people talk like this is not good. Get why? It defiles your spirit. Get away. And before you know it, it poisons you. And the anointing doesn't work anymore. Are you guys with me? I've seen great anointed men being taken out. Many. So they cleanse from the latter. Number two. So if we die to ourselves, die to our ego. I think it was 2 Kings 14 verse 4. Put it in 2 Kings 4 verse 14. 2 Kings, I think it's 2 Kings 4 verse 14. I think so. Let me just check here. No, I got the wrong scripture. Try 14 verse 4. Try 14 verse 14. Otherwise, I'll just quote that. I'm not going to turn to the Bible now for it, just for the sake of time. Okay, I'll just quote it. I'll paraphrase it. I'm not going to turn, just for the sake of time. I knew I missed that one somewhere, but this is where, was it Naaman was commanded to go dip himself in the River Jordan 7 times to be clean. Say with me, to be clean. But he had to go do it. And the River Jordan is speaking of the place of death. So he had to go 7 times into death, dying to his ego, because he was a man of great stature. And here the prophet tells him, go to the River Jordan, which is a dirty river, which is for your low profile people, your servants. Go and clean yourself, dip yourself there. And he took offense first. And then his servant tell him, no, just go do what the man of God has said. And he went and he dipped himself in a place of embarrassment and shame for his ego to die, in order for him to be cleansed. Are you guys with me? So how does the anointing come? Number one, cleanse yourself from the latter. Number two, say with me, dying to self. Unless a grain of seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot live. Unless I go through the resurrection and the death, I cannot experience the glory of God. There's something with the grave and death and glory and resurrection, that the glory of God and a dimension of the anointing only comes once I've died to myself. Not sitting in a church, not sitting in an e-group, or even coming to a prayer meeting. But once I'm alone with God and I know I just don't want to press in, I don't have the time to press in, it is at that moment where I die to myself. Or I'm responding with this attitude or that attitude, but I'm like, say with me, deny myself. Say, forsake all. Who will do that? That's the question. Are you willing to pay the price for the anointing? Not even sure if it will come. But you say, I'm willing to forsake all for it. Because once you have the anointing, money comes. Blessings comes. Prosperity comes. Are you guys with me? So say with me, cleanse from the latter. Number two, say die to myself. Number three, say serving. Elisha and Elijah. When Elijah came past Elisha and threw the mantle on him, the Bible says that Elisha ran after him and became his servant. Jesus said to his disciples, those of you who desire to become great and desire to be first, be the servant of all. And he said, I did not come to be served. I came to be a bond servant to many. I took on the form of a bond servant. And I served and washed feet. So how does the anointing come? So if you cleanse from the latter, say die to self. Say serving with everything. Now many other ways. Now we'll get into the cost of the anointing next week. The cost, like what it's going to cost you. This is just the entrance. God does not anoint anybody who doesn't serve. No one. I've seen people give big money without a drop of oil. Then I've seen somebody giving no money, but they serve. And oil is all over them. There's something that God looks at the heart of a servant. Somebody that is denying themselves completely, that is forsaking all, that is leaving all behind, hating father and mother, brother and sister, meaning loving God so much that they're getting so persecuted, they are being told, you are different, you are not spending time with us anymore. No, I'm in love with God. An anointed person is a lonely person. I'm going to say it again. An anointed person is a lonely person. An anointed leader is a lonely leader. People don't understand that person. Even the decisions they make, they don't understand them. They seem rude. Jesus walking, his best friend Lazarus is dying. Martha, Mary calls him. His best friend is dying. And he decides just to stay another 4 days just for him to be properly dead. To the degree that they got so offended that Mary did not even come out of the house to greet him. Are you guys with me? Why? He does not work by their schedule. The anointing will offend people. The way it is operated, the way it is administered, it will offend. They said about Jesus, they said, they have never seen him, seen healing being done in this fashion. Because they wanted it to be done in one fashion. The older generation or the previous God will always want Christianity to be done in a certain fashion. And if it's not done in that fashion, then it must be evil and it must be wrong. Are you guys with me? Now you must lay hands like this, but don't dare swing your jacket. Or don't dare spit on somebody. Or don't dare do this. Or wave your hand. Or prophesy like this. No, we are coming into a different fashion. It is called the new wineskins. That new wine cannot be poured into old wineskins. It will break. Meaning revival cannot come unless the fashion is changed. A revival cannot come unless the wineskin is changed. Unless the vessel, you and I, are fixed and changed to carry the wine, to carry the glory, to carry an outpouring of revival that wants to come. Are you guys with me?